and that this is bread is life everlasting. And so, God, now speak a word through your servant. Take hold of me and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, my sermon title today is Give Us This Bread. Very interesting, the word on this. Give us this bread, not any old bread, not any other sort of bread, but this bread. There's a Presbyterian hymn that says, that's called Bread of Heaven, on thee we feed. And it says, first verse says, Bread of Heaven, on thee we feed, for thou art our food indeed. Ever may our souls be fed with this true and living bread. Day by day with strength supplied through the life of Christ who died. Vine of Heaven, thy love supplies this blessed cup of sacrifice. Tis thy wounds our healing give. To thy cross we look and live. Thou art alive, O let us be rooted, grafted, built on thee, bread of heaven, on thee we feed. The bread of heaven is Jesus Christ, and today we'll certainly be reminded, and the lection scripture for today on the gospel is so appropriate for First Communion Sunday. You know, I saw some stats on the wonder of bread, not Wonder Bread. Do you remember Wonder Bread? I think they got rid of Wonder Bread now. But Wonder Bread was spectacular, wasn't it? Those were the days when white bread was not bad for you. Whatever happened when white bread was good for you? Whatever happened to white bread? Who did something to white bread? Now you can't have white bread. Sometimes I get lightheaded because I'm on a no-carb diet. I'm dying for a piece of bread. I see people that want to grab it out of their hand and just eat it. And you remember how Wonder Bread, you would put that one, it would be so soft in the middle. See what I'm getting? I'm losing it just thinking about it. Huh? So soft in the middle, you could just die for it. And so now you can't have bread. But thanks be to God, we could still have the bread of life, because we'd be in big trouble. Stat says, in 1777 is the year wheat was first planted. And it was planted as a hobby crop in the United States. Did you know that? It was for hobby, right? They didn't know they were going to make millions of dollars and billions on it, and it was going to get us fatter and fatter. There's nothing wrong with wheat. It's what they're putting in the wheat, right? Because other countries in the world, that people are starving, they're giving them bread. So it must be our bread. We're eating the fat bread. I could speak from experience. In 1928 is the year pre-sliced bread was invented in some place in Missouri after being worked on for 16 years because they only had bread that you would break. There was no sliced bread, and now we got sliced bread and all kind of bread, wheat bread, you know, pumpernickel bread, dark pumpernickel, light pumpernickel, rye bread. This says 12.6 is the grams of protein in a 3.5 ounce serving of hard red winter bread, almost equal to the grams of protein in the same serving of soybeans. So there is protein in bread. It's just that there's more bread in bread. 10 is the years a family of four could live off of the bread produced by 1 acre of wheat. Now, I always said if I got stranded on an island, I could drink water and eat bread. I don't even want meat, just bread. And so it goes on, it says, one is a single loaf of bread, when partaken at communion, is a powerful symbol of Christian unity. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we share the one loaf. So bread has its importance. And, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about communion and bread. When I was in church in Brooklyn, I served in a church in Brooklyn. When I was starting out, you know, I was already commissioned. I was an associate pastor there for 2 years. And there were a big worshiping congregation, 2-3 services, Vanderveer United Methodist, a predominantly Caribbean church. Now it was not Vanderveer, they were Dutch, many of you here of Brooklyn, many years ago. But on first, during the year, during the months, the weeks and the months, you'd sometimes get to church, you know, on a Sunday as we are in the pulpit. And if church wasn't, you know, the benches weren't quite full, they had a very good, they had 200, 300 people on a Sunday for it. You would, some certain people you wouldn't see. And you would wonder, where are they? And then, but on first Sunday, the sanctuary was always filled to capacity. People you wouldn't see during the month came to church on first Sunday. Sometimes there were, a lot of them were nurses. If you know a lot of Caribbean women are nurses and nurses aide and so on and so forth. And they will literally tell you that they're taking off, they don't work on first Sunday, or they try to switch or go at night. Why? Because it was communion Sunday. We would serve communion. When I went to a church and saw people over and over didn't show up for communion, I couldn't understand. Because I came out of a culture, even in the Caribbean, where everybody show up. If it's once a month you're going to see them, you're going to see them on first Sunday. Because they were coming to do what? Sharing in Holy Communion the bread of life. It was a big deal. They were going to come, and this bread was going to be broken, and it was going to be the body of Christ. And in essence, they were saying, give me this bread. There's something that they believe that happened when they come. No matter what they did all month, they wouldn't miss first Sunday. And Pastor Beach and I would say, it was a senior pastor, my mentor, and we would be so busy on first Sunday, and he would say, I wonder where they all came from. We haven't seen them in 3 weeks. But mark my word, they'd be there on first Sunday. And people would line up. We'd be serving 300-400 people, and they would line up just to get the bread. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. This is a, now I understand people have to work on Sundays. You know, now times have changed. But sometimes we take that bread so lightly. We know that we bought it at the store. We understand, but we pray over it and we bless it and we believe, because Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. I want people, Christians, to be saying, Protestant Christians, we've got to believe in something and stand for it and begin to understand, start remembering again how important communion, this bread is, and begin to say, give me this bread. Give it to me, Lord. It is important. There's something about it, because we don't need to add another ritual to our lives in the church. If it's all about ritual, then let's not do it. I could find something better to do up here. I could sing and dance and put a bow in my hair and run around the sanctuary and keep you entertained. Lord knows I could entertain you much better than serving communion. You'd be surprised, right? So the point is, if that's all we're doing because it's tradition, let us not do it. It has to mean something. It must mean something. We've got to start taking back Christianity, Protestant believers. We've got to start showing people that there are things we do that are not just rituals, as the young people said. We're just doing it because we're here. But it means something to our faith. Jesus was with these folks, right? He was with these folks, and he had just did the feeding of the 5,000. And they had seen the sign, right, of him multiplying all of that and those 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so they were looking for him because they wanted to see more signs. You know, there are a lot of churches, and the other churches that are maybe not a mainline, non-denominational, not a charismatic churches, who themselves, some of them are just big on signs. They're no better than us on the other end. It's all about signs. People are going just for signs. You know, it's the excitement of signs. Yes, we want excitement in our church, but it's not always just about excitement. It's not always about just singing and doing that. It's about what? Being drawn close to a God who can save us, who has saved us, and who gives us life.
Do you know we could sit and come into church and sit and call on God because He has given us life? Do you know I know He's given us life when we need it? I have a colleague now, a friend, who is a pastor, served God, who is battling cancer right now. Spoke to her this morning. It is about our life. And I stood there and I said to myself, God, it could be me, it could be any of us at any time. There is a God that we need to seek, the bread of life, because tomorrow is promised to no one. We just buried another pastor, 53 years old. She was going through the process, just came up before us 3 weeks ago. It is about the bread of life. It is more than excitement and jumping and dancing and seeing. It is knowing that there is life eternal in this bread. It is knowing. She texted me this morning when I was coming here. I don't answer texts unless it's important on a Sunday. Says, I'm not feeling this good. Should I go back to the hospital? We've been praying and asking God. The bread of life. It gives us eternal life. Jesus wanted them to know that this morning. He wanted them to know it that day. See, they realized He was missing, and so they came looking for Jesus. And they says, when they found Him across the sea, they says, Rabbi, when did you get here? They were looking for Him because they accepted that He was God, that He was the Messiah. They wanted a sign. Right? They wanted to see, and Jesus answered. You see it in the Message Bible. It says, you've been looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you. You filled your stomach, and for free. The Message Bible puts it that way. You've eaten, you've gotten what you got the food, but you're not really looking because you want to be what? You want to be filled with me. He says, don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Don't waste your time looking for perishable food. Work for the food that sticks with you. Food that endures to eternal life. Food which the Son of Man provides. Jesus said the perishable food don't work. We know there is a lot of perishable food that we want and desire. We're human beings. But Jesus was telling them, you need to seek me. Seek the Son of Man. Seek God. Not something to be achieved, but to be received by faith in Jesus Christ. They were looking for something they could work for. And Jesus was saying, we are supposed to work in the church, friends. But He's saying, you can't work for this. You cannot work for this food. It's a gift freely given. Christ has given it to us by His death and resurrection. He was ransomed for us. Amen. Give us this food. Lord, how do I need this food? Food to carry on. Food to go through. He was letting them know that it was guaranteed, this gift. It was not by works. But they missed the point that eternal life is Christ's gift, and was thinking that they could achieve it by pious works. They missed the point. Because they went right to the manna. They said, oh, did Moses give us manna from heaven? Did we get manna from Moses? And Jesus said, Moses didn't give you manna. God sent the manna from heaven. Right? God said Moses didn't give you manna. Moses can't give you the bread of heaven. God gave it to you. But here's the deal, friends, today. That manna from heaven was temporary. Come on now. The manna Moses gave was temporary. Because each day, the manna had to come again. Each day, remember after they eat up the manna? Do you remember the book of, you know, the book of Exodus? I was going to say the book of Egypt. The book of Exodus, it's an E, you know. All right? So, He gave them manna that was temporary. Because if the manna didn't come the next day, they'd have starved to death. All right? So, He's saying, listen, that's Moses the manna. Now I'm the better gift, so to speak. When you eat of this bread, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and eat of this bread, it is for eternity. This bread from heaven is eternal life. Jesus responded, the real significance of that scripture is not that Moses gave you bread from heaven, but that my Father is right now offering you bread from heaven, the real bread. The real bread. This morning when we come to communion, we are going to be reminded that we have been offered the real bread. This is my body, which was what? Given for you. The real bread. When we say, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit and this gift of bread and wine, and let it be for us the body and blood of Christ. Huh? We are asking the Lord to bless it. And when we give it to you, saying, this is the bread of life. The real bread. Eternal life. Jesus would say to them, this bread came down from heaven. And then they jumped up, they realized, like we are reminded this morning, they said, Lord, give us this bread. Not Moses' bread. Not manna. Give us this bread. I mentioned this before, but you know, there's a lot of people, we look at their lives. I heard a preacher said the other day, you know, this designer who dated Mick Jagger. She had committed suicide. I don't know their names, her name. But the preacher said he used to look at her. She was always on Facebook or whatever thing. She was showing all the things she was doing. She would be flying to Paris. And I read a reflection on it yesterday. She'd be flying here and she'd be showing the beautiful things and what she's doing and what she's not doing. And he said, this writer, he said, he was became jealous of, you know, envious. But he says, I wish I could go fly to Paris one night for a meal and fly to Spain the next day, whatever they were doing. I want her life. I would like to get her life. You know, when you look at people and everything seemed to all to be all right. I want her life. Well, I want what she's doing. Same thing happened with Matthew Bodine. I want his life. Right? Kate Spade, I want her life. Everything seems to be fine. But they found her in her apartment and she had committed suicide. And the writer said, you can never believe what you see about folks. Because what you see is not always what it is. They were missing the true bread. Something greater than things. Things go. You know, if I could give up every dime I have today and all my clothes and every piece of jewelry I have and everything that I have to make my colleague well, I would do it. If the Lord says, give it all up and she'll be healed forever, it wouldn't matter. Because he would make me get more later on. And some of the stuff I have, I don't even need. Because you come to a point where you realize that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When I stood at the funeral of that 53-year-old local pastor and looked at her and I thought, what does it all matter, all the things, if I don't know Jesus? If we don't know Jesus, what does it matter? If we don't know Jesus, the bread of life. If we're not filled with that bread, we should take communion that way. Being reminded that we're doing it because he has said to us, do it in remembrance of me. And that is trouble not going to come? Yes, trouble will come. Jesus never promised it a rose garden. But the key is when we have the bread of life, we're filled all the time. And he'll fill us again. The songwriter says, which we're going to sing, oh, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. That's the only prayer. You know, you could get up in the morning and all you have to say in the morning when you get up, oh, Lord, fill my cup. Oh, fill it this day. Just fill it, God, bread of heaven. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill me and make me whole. The first verse of that song, which we never sing, it says, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. I wish we had a whole song in our hymn now, but we only have the refrain. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. We can't go when we're going through this, when we are when we are put upon and we serve the Lord, if we don't have words and songs like this, we don't know how we are going to make it, do we? And pastors, it's harder for us when we serve because we are preaching about a God we believe in and a God who can heal and a God who can save. And when we get put upon, when things happen to us as it should, because it happens to everybody, it is hard. And then we got an email last night that Reverend Lori Miller up in Connecticut, her son, who's 25 years old, committed suicide. I said to the Lord, maybe we shouldn't get all of these things on a Saturday. Because we all are reading it and texting each other. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Yet we rejoice in the Lord, as Paul says. Yet we rejoice. Because we know there is one body, one spirit, right? We're all one. Just as you've called us to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through and in all. Amen. Amen. So that means we go through all together. We each have our day and our time. There's one Lord, one God, one Jesus, one baptism, one faith for all of us. And we come together in Christian unity. We come together worshiping and serving God. And together we can say, fill our cup, Lord. Oh, fill it up. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Feed us, Lord. Oh, God, how do we need you? We need you today, Lord, because we need you more than yesterday, and we'll certainly need you more than tomorrow. And so, friends, you are here sitting under the sound of my voice. I don't know what everybody is going through. We're not the only ones who go through, everybody goes through. But all I can give you, what I have to give, is tell you about Jesus and his love for you and the bread of heaven. The same Jesus that's going to show up for us is the same Jesus that's going to show up for you. The same Jesus that's going to bring us through. And bring us through this journey, and we will rise with him. Amen.